God created out of a desire for mankind in the earth to participate in what already existed in the Trinity. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In their relationship, they are perfectly glorifying each other. The Father glorifies the Son glorifies the Father, the Spirit does the same for them. And they're in this dance, is what it's been called before. And in this, there's complete fulfillment, there's complete joy. God is complete. He is lacking nothing. He is needing nothing. The Trinity provides all that he has needed, will need, and forever will ever need. And so in this, God's fulfillment was complete. His joy was complete. His pleasure was complete. And out of that, he wanted to create. It's as if God was inviting us into the opportunity to glorify him. And in glorifying him, we find our fulfillment, our joy, and we find what is complete. And so again, God didn't create out of a need for a relationship with us. He creates because his glory is so good, his glory is so satisfying, his glory is so fulfilling that he just wants us to be able to partake in that. Out of that, we can begin to understand what it looks like to treasure Christ, to be rooted in Christ, and have the mindset of Christ. So turn now to Colossians chapter 2. And we will be able to see how Christ truly can be a treasure that we should pursue and desire. So Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read starting in verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of his full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So let's pause there. Paul is using some very interesting words here. He is almost using like material things, especially in this time, and I would say absolutely in our day and age, of comparing knowing Christ, comparing a relationship with Christ to riches and treasures, something that should be desired, something that we would pursue a lifetime to have and achieve. That's what he's equating this relationship to Christ. And so with that, if Christ is this treasure, if he is these riches, and a relationship with him is as valuable, I would say more valuable than those things, then that relationship should be pursued as such. So in order for us to better understand this, I wanted to think through, what does the world say that we need to desire? What does the world say that we should treasure? What are the competing things for our affection? Yeah. Money, power, success. Maybe not so much in this day and age, but before, family, right? Family was something that was valued, and maybe, hopefully, something that we will value more in days to come. Our jobs, our homes, experiences, right? We see that in commercials a lot, like travel to this place and experience this thing. This is what you should value. This is what you should treasure. This is what you should save your money for. This is what you should put your time and your energy towards. Or maybe it's simpler things like your car, or maybe it's your spouse, or maybe it's your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Maybe it's just relationships in general, friendships. For some people, their highest level of treasure is sex or drugs or alcohol or sports. Yeah, like there's this huge value, right? We're in football season right now. There's this huge value in watching sports or having a fantasy football team or DVRing this and watching that. A lot of times, honestly, TV is something that we value. Being entertained is a high value in our culture. One thing I was thinking about is just being accomplished, right? Being able to one-up somebody in their story, or having that promotion, or whatever, having the trophy wife, having the house, you know, just being accomplished, being able to feel better about ourselves than our neighbor or somebody we work with or whatever. These are the things that culture is telling us to treasure. They're telling us to value these things, to pursue these things, to give our effort towards these things. And so God didn't create you with this desire not being able to fulfill it, right? So God didn't say that you should have these desires to be fulfilled. You should have these desires to accomplish, to value things, and dangle a carrot in front of you that you'll never, ever get. That's not what God did. But what Satan does is he puts these other things in front of us, and we pursue those things, whether sinful or morally neutral, it doesn't matter. We pursue these things, and we begin to value these things, and these things become our treasure, but they don't fulfill, right? Because you get a car, and it's great for like a month, and then they come out with a new model, or your neighbor gets a better one, or you get in a car accident, or we're in Texas, a hailstorm comes through, or whatever. And then the thing that you treasured, the thing that you thought was going to bring that fulfillment, now doesn't anymore. And so then I started to ask myself, okay, it's easy to explain that life in general doesn't fulfill. Like when we treasure the things of this world, morally neutral or sinful, usually we find ourselves in want. But can God actually fulfill? It's a legitimate question. We know the answer is yes, but how do we get ourselves to that place where we find him as fulfilling, where when he becomes the treasure of our life, does that really fulfill? And if it does, for how long? I think it's something that we really have to consider. And as I was thinking about that, I wanted to think through, okay, well, these are the things that I've listed so far are menial, maybe not. Maybe they're the most valuable thing in your life. But I started thinking through, okay, my best days. I'm only 30 years old, but what are the best things that I've experienced in my life thus far? And so as I think back on that, one of the best days of my life was getting engaged. That was like a pinnacle. It was a big moment. She didn't say no, she said yes, right? So it was a good day, and there was just so much joy, and there was so much fulfillment. And then moving into my wedding day, right? Just so much joy and so much fulfillment. And then moving into marriage, it's not that way every day, right? Then reality begins to set in, and the thing that was almost the pinnacle of my joy thus far in my life becomes a point of frustration at times, a point of something that steals my joy. And my wife is not the reason my joy is being stolen. It's really honestly me, or it's sin in our marriage, right? That steals from what at one moment was so satisfying. Or even I see my son running in the back over there, right? The day my son was born, so much joy was in that day, so much fulfillment. And it's hard. It's hard to not make my son or my wife or my job my treasure. It's hard not to let those things have a value in my life that they shouldn't, because those are good things. Those are gifts from God. Those are good things to pursue. Those are good things to steward. But a lot of times I'll find myself putting them as my treasure rather than putting God as my treasure. And so then again, coming back to, does God truly have the capacity as my treasure to satisfy? Does God truly have the capacity to fulfill? Is God worth treasuring? And the only way I think that we can figure this out is to go to the Bible. That's the only way that we can see genuinely and truly, can God fulfill all that is inside me? Because my desire to be fulfilled, my desire to have pleasure, my desire to treasure things seems insatiable, right? It's one thing in this moment, and then it's the next thing, right? It's football season at this time, and then it's hunting season at this time, and then it's the summer, and it's time to get on the lake, or it's that thing is primary in my life. And the second I make it my treasure, the second I make it my God, is the second my pleasure, my fulfillment, and my desire crushes that thing. My wife doesn't make a good God. I can't put that pressure on her to fulfill me in that way, but we do this. And then we get frustrated with our spouses when they don't fulfill. Or we'll do this with friendships. We'll put this desire on our friends, this desire that really we make them our treasure and we want them to fulfill us and we crush them by doing it. Or it's our job. Or it is our car. Or it is our house. Or it is our kids. Right? We put this desire on our kids that they would accomplish the things that we didn't accomplish. We want them to become something that we never were. And there's this overwhelming desire because they become your treasure for them to be something they can't be, and it crushes them. So again, is God worth treasuring? Can he fulfill these desires that are in my heart? Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." And so when God gives us this desire to treasure him, to value him, to make him the pinnacle of all of our existence, he does have the capacity to fulfill. You see, his glory was the thing that started all of this. And when we count him as our treasure and our life is in pursuit of his glory, then we get the fulfillment, we get the joy, we get the pleasures forevermore. We get joy in Christ that fulfills beyond circumstance. It fulfills beyond where we find ourselves in life. You see, it doesn't matter what somebody can take from you. They could even take your life and they're giving you the thing that you want if Christ is your treasure. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." This book is not trying to steal from us. I have to tell our students this all the time because they hear the things that the Bible calls us to and they feel like it's just this rule book, this killjoy, that God is this cosmic monster that just wants to stomp on everything that is fun. And that's not the reality. Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it to the full. If we'll live our life according to this book, then we get to find the most pleasure, the most joy in glorifying him in the things that we do. You see, God is worth treasuring and he can fulfill us. So then what does it take? What does it take to make Christ our treasure? You see, this is something that Paul is laboring for the church. This is something that he wants them to know. He wants them to know the riches of full understanding of the knowledge of God, the mystery which is Christ. He wants them to treasure that relationship with him, with Christ. So how does one do that? There's something about God that's very interesting. You see, he will compete with nothing, and nothing can compete with him. The only way that Christ can become our treasure is if God is truly and ultimately all that we want, all that we need, all that we desire. There's an awesome parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, and this is how I feel Jesus wants us to approach him as our treasure. Matthew 13, 44 says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Okay, so this is what happened. A man goes into a field and finds a treasure, right? Like a literal treasure that is worth more than anything this dude has. Well, the owner of the land doesn't know the treasure is there. Obviously, he wouldn't have sold it if he did. So knowing that that treasure is more valuable than all of his possessions, this man goes, sells everything that he has, but don't miss this, he does it with joy. It says, in his joy, he sells all that he has, buys the field, and is way, way more wealthy for doing it. You see, he gets what's better. He gets the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, approaching a relationship with him, approaching the kingdom of heaven, wanting to know him and have him as our treasure means that we go to Christ and we say, you are better than anything in my life. And this becomes really, really scary. Right? It's a scary thing to say, God, you are better than my son. Having a relationship with you is more valuable to me than my son. You are more valuable to me, God, than my friendships. You are more valuable to me, God, than my work. You are more valuable to me, God, than all that I have. I will sell everything if it means I can have you. That's how God says we approach him as our treasure. We lay it all down. Holding on to nothing, saying, God, you are ultimate. You are all that I need. You are all that I desire. Take anything from me as long as I can have you. Then he becomes the treasure of our life. Then we have the opportunity to participate in what the Trinity had. Now, not perfectly, right? Because we're sinful. That comes later. But God creates you and me and all that we have with the opportunity to treasure him, to glorify him. It's the reason we exist. It's the opportunity that we have. Paul says it like this. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But whatever gain I had, I count as a loss. I'll say that again. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Paul made God his treasure. Everything was a loss. He was willing to lose it all. His life, right? We see that. We get to read that. He gave it all that he might have Christ because he saw Christ as his treasure, as what is most valuable in his life. David says it like this. Psalm 42:1. I'm sure many of you have seen this. It's on a t-shirt somewhere or a coffee cup somewhere. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. I think we can move over this verse really quickly and not consider what David's saying here. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. I mean, think of yourself, not as a deer, but think of yourself in a desert somewhere. Spend days without water. Your sole purpose in life, if you are to survive, is to find that stream. Like it consumes you. It's everything that you want. You will sacrifice anything if you could just get a drink of this water. That's how David says he views Christ, that his soul is longing for the Lord, that nothing has a value like it would be to meet with God. That everything within him hungers to know the Lord, that everything within him has to meet with God. Have you found yourself in that place? Do you treasure God like this? Like, how many days do we go without pursuing the Lord? We act like it, like we can just go on and on and on. And I do this, right? And I'm a student pastor, and I do this. I'll go days without meeting with him. I'll begin to value things more than my relationship with God. I'll begin to treasure relationships or my family or even my job, which is so ironic, right? That I would value my job as a pastor more than my relationship with God. How's that even possible? But it happens. There's not this dependency that we see in the scripture to feel as though I'm going to die if I don't meet with the Lord. That's what it means to treasure him. And there's There is nobody in the room that can go, I've got it. I got it figured out. That's me. That's me every single day, every single week. That's where I find myself. No way. No way. Me included. No way. So do you treasure him? All of us have things tonight that we need to lay before the Lord. For some of us, it is our families. Like when I think about what we are willing to do sometimes for our families, we'll take off of work. We will bend over backwards to make sure our families are cared for, to make sure our families have the things that they need, to make sure our grandkids have what they need or our children. We value them, and that shows in the way that we live our life. And this, even considering this thought, was convicting for me, because I'll take off of work to be with family, but how often do I take off work to be with the Lord? I'll spend money to grow my relationship with my wife. Do I actively spend money so that I can grow in my relationship with God and count him as more valuable?